Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, he is Brett McMurphy. He's a college football insider over at Stadium, and he joins us now. Brett, what's the word?
2 weeks in, and Texas is not back. But, boy, LSU's offense looks really, really good, and they can beat Alabama. They can get into the playoff, but we got a few more weeks to see if that'll happen.
No doubt. We will get to that here in just a moment, but we want to start here in our state. Are you ready for the Phil Fulmer 2.0 era at Tennessee?
I tweeted over the weekend as a athletic director at a college, or when's the last time an athletic director at a college was also the head football coach, asking for a friend. And got a lot of spirited responses. You know, I don't know what happens here. You know, obviously there's a lot of people that think that's a possibility. I don't have any direct knowledge of that. I've reached out to people to try to see what's going on. You know, certainly I think they'll take care of Chattanooga. You know, the Florida game will be huge. Somebody whose opinion I respect a great deal, when I asked them, is it really a possibility that Fulmer could take over at Tennessee? And their response was, there's no way Phil Fulmer will want to coach Tennessee against Alabama and take that beat down. So that's one way to look at it. That's, you know, middle of the season. So I don't know. Certainly it's a tough situation for the Vols. And, you know, I honestly don't know. That school has had a lot of strange things happen as far as coaches, as you guys are well aware. It's been well documented. So who knows what happens here? I would be shocked if anything happens, you know, in the next couple weeks. But, you know, certainly a loss to Chattanooga would seal Jeremy Pruitt's fate. But I don't expect that to happen.
Right.
And I would expect Fulmer would give him time to kind of right the ship, if you will. But, you know, that's 5 or 10 years ago. Now everybody wants instant gratification, instant firings. So we have to see how this thing plays out.
Why has it been so hard for Tennessee, you know, to identify, you know, a good coach or at least a successful coach there? I mean,
they did. They had Mike Leach, and the administration basically wouldn't allow Mike Leach to be hired. So
yeah.
And by the way, how gratifying do you think? Mike Leach is a BYU graduate. How gratifying do you think that win was for Leach to see BYU beat Tennessee?
Yeah.
You know, John Curry had an agreement with Mike Leach for Mike Leach to be the head coach, and Tennessee's administrators told him he could not hire a coach and to come back to Knoxville, and so they didn't get him. They had Greg Schiano, and, you know, social media, fan outcry, outburst, whatever, sabotage that hire. You know, would Schiano have been a good coach? Who knows? But, you know, you're asking why they had such difficulty. Well, the fans, you know, basically sabotaged one search. The administration sabotaged another one. And so maybe it's not surprising when coaches are considering coming to Tennessee. Certainly they look at what's happened in the past, and maybe you don't get as big a candidate pool because of all these weird occurrences in Knoxville.
You know, it is pretty remarkable, Brett, if you sit back and think about it, that, you know, Memphis has had a little run here where it's been the best program in the college football program in the state, no? I mean, this is pretty – I guess it says more about Tennessee than it does Memphis, but you got to give kudos to the Tigers as well, no?
Yeah, I mean, you got to take advantage of
absolutely
that. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you're kind of seeing – you know, I'm based in Tampa. You're kind of seeing some of that in the state of Florida.
Yep.
I mean, you've got the college teams from Tampa and Miami, the pro teams from Tampa and Miami, they're all combined 0-10.
I saw your tweet.
And,
yeah,
and you got UCF, who obviously has had a remarkable run the past couple of years, who their notoriety and everything is at record levels, which 5 years ago nobody knew. Everybody confused UCF with the UFC or called them you know, Central Florida or whatever. So, yeah, so this is kind of a similar situation for Memphis. When Tennessee's down and Memphis is soaring, it's great for Memphis, and they're going to, I think they'll get a lot out of that.
Yep.
It'll help the program in numerous ways. Great timing for Memphis, horrible timing for UT.
Sticking down there in Florida, where you how hot? I know he won, and that, you know, they get by Louisiana Monroe, but how hot is that Willie Taggart seat down at Florida State? It feels like it's burning.
You know, it does, and all I can go by is before the season, the Florida State athletic director came out and said very clearly that Willie Taggart will return in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And that was based on the situation that Jimbo Fisher left in Tallahassee. Kids stopped going to class. Kids stopped, basically, they weren't held accountable for anything. It was a mess. So Willie came into that mess.
It's true.
They struggled last year.
Yeah.
I obviously think they expected to see some improvement this year. Up to this point, they haven't. But then when you look at Willie's track record, that's kind of how it's always been. He came into USF. They were 2-10 when he got there. When he left 2 years later, they had a 10-win season. He was only at Oregon for 1 year, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think it's going to take a couple of years for Taggart to get things turned around at Florida State. The question is Florida State willing to be that patient? Again, the AD before the season said he would definitely be back, but I'm sure the AD before the season didn't expect not necessarily the loss to Boise, but the way it played out.
I'm with you.
And then also the way that the win against Monroe played out, you know, they're lucky they didn't go for two instead of missing that extra point.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of surprised they didn't. But the most troubling thing for me, if I'm a Florida State supporter, is you look at how badly Florida State has been outscored in the second half of both of these games. Is that conditioning? Is that coaching? Yeah. Adjustments? I don't know. But it's two games doesn't make a trend, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Absolutely.
Speaking of hot seat, USC entered the season unranked for the first time since 2001. That officially changed today after the USC win 45-20 over Stanford. As it relates to Clay Helton, like, I don't know, is the fan base still restless? Like, is this still not enough for them? I know a lot of people have been campaigning very openly for Urban Meyer to get the USC job. Is there a way that Clay keeps his job now?
Hey, at this rate, they'll give him a lifetime contract. I mean, it's unbelievable, and I'm happy for Clay Helton. He's one of the best guys in the coaching industry.
Yep.
You know, sometimes, you know, fate kind of shines on you, and with the change of quarterback, with the injury to JT Daniels, maybe, you know, they've got a better option at quarterback now. And then you look, they go at BYU, which is a game that they can win. They've got Utah in the Coliseum, which Utah's my pick to get to the college football playoff and win the Pac-12. But if somehow USC wins that game, then they're undefeated and they go at Washington, which isn't as good as we thought they were.
Yep.
And then they would be undefeated going at Notre Dame in mid-October, and how huge of a game that would be. But certainly, yeah, I mean, Clay's kind of, you know, poured a little bit of water on the fire, if you will. But as I say that, you know, at BYU, Utah, Washington, at Notre Dame, if he's 2-4 in 4 weeks, then yeah, he's definitely squarely back on the hot seat, and his job status would be unknown. But certainly a great start for the Trojans after 2 weeks.
We are talking to Breckman Murphy, a college football insider for Stadium. You brought it up at the beginning of the interview. LSU, with what you have to say,
awesome.
A very impressive win against Texas this week. And, I mean, the LSU quarterback threw for over 400 yards. I mean, it just feels like it's an out-of-body experience. Nobody really seemed to give Ed Orgeron much of a chance at all when he got the job full-time on a permanent basis. I think most people thought he'd be fired after 1 year. What do you make of the job that he has done, and do you believe it? Do you buy all of what's happening in Baton Rouge, Brett?
You know, I do, and you're right. Ed Orgeron does not get enough credit. Since taking over for Miles, he's coached in 36 games. Of those 36 games, 17 have been against ranked opponents. So literally – every other game he coaches is against ranked opponents. He's now 11-6 against those ranked opponents. So he's winning at a pretty good clip where a lot of coaches don't have a lot of success. You talked about LSU's offense. I don't think people really realize this much. But when you look at the last four games of last season, LSU averaged nearly 500 yards per game. compared with their first nine when they only averaged about 363. And the transformation was quite simply Joe Burrow. Burrow had six touchdowns, four interceptions in those first nine games. In the five games since then, 14 touchdowns, five interceptions. So his numbers are off the chart.
Yep.
Certainly Joe Brady, the new assistant with the New Orleans Saints, is helping a great deal. But I think the most telling thing was, if you guys saw the game, they're up a touchdown. They're trying to basically run out the clock, win the game. And what does LSU do on that drive? They throw 75% of the plays.
Yeah.
Where you guys know in the past, tailback up the middle, tailback off guard, tailback around the end, punt, and hope their defense can hold them. So certainly, again, it's early, but LSU looks really good. And I think I told you guys, a week or so ago, I thought LSU was one of the most talented teams in the country,
mm-hmm.
but I thought they wouldn't survive their schedule. Who knows? Maybe now they can survive it. But obviously, they've got to beat Alabama, something that they haven't done in quite some time.
Well, it looks like they've got the horses on offense, and the way Joe's slinging it around, we know that defense by that time should be in shape and should be a good one. I'm giving LSU a chance. It sounds like you are, too. Which top 10 team are you the least sure about right now, Brett? Which one looks the most suspect to you? Is it Michigan, which barely got by Army?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the good news for Michigan is, if they can continue to win out, no one's going to look back and say, wow, you struggled against Army. You're not going to get in the playoff, which, by the way, the last team that beat Army by one score at home, the Oklahoma Sooners, won their conference title and got the college football playoff. But certainly, if things don't change for Michigan, I don't see this the way they're currently playing. I don't see them competing in the Big Ten. Ohio State will boat race them again. They'll finish with two or three losses. So good news is they can fix it. The bad news is this is supposed to be a better offense, more up-tempo. Their passing numbers after two games are actually less than they were in their final four games of last year. So they've actually regressed. So certainly they're going to be under the microscope because of Harbaugh and all the hype that was coming into this season.
We are, of course, talking to Brett McMurphy, covers college football for Stadium. Justin Fuente is a guy we obviously follow really closely here in Memphis because, he turned around Memphis football. And my sort of logic with him is that if you can turn around Memphis football and win conference championships at Memphis, you can probably win a national championship at Virginia Tech. That does not look like as if it will happen. What's the status of Justin Fuente up there?
Basically, he has the full support of his athletic director, which, I know a lot of those things flip on a dime, but I really believe that. So I think he's fine there. But, yeah, it has been kind of strange where you did have a lot of kids that transferred out of there. And obviously the big news before the season, Bud Foster, the longtime defensive coordinator, announced this would be his final season. I think the world of Justin. Every encounter I've had with him, he's been an awesome guy. Obviously, you guys probably have dealt with him a lot more than I did, but I have nothing but great things to say about him. The bottom line is you got to win games. And, the good news is the ACC schedule they have doesn't have Clemson on it. So I think they can win their side of the ACC. They've got to play better. Their defense has regressed in the past couple of years. And, Bud Foster said he was stepping down on his own terms after this year. He wasn't forced out or anything like that. But, I don't know, maybe just having a new defensive outlook in there may change things because Justin obviously knows his offense. So I don't think in any ways is he under any kind of pressure or anything. Now, if he rolls out a 3-9 or a 4-8, then certainly things would change. But, I could see them, possibly a 8-9, maybe 10-win season if everything breaks right.
All right, we will come back, wrap it up. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.